You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What's up, everyone? Another edition of the Stardom Road podcast is here for all of your lovely ears to listen to or watch if you're watching over on YouTube. I'm your host, as always, Scott Edwards. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Trent Breward. Trent, how are you?
I'm good. Considering we're talking about probably the one Joshi topic that is far away from me personally as we could possibly talk about. We're not talking about wrestling in Japan, which is very weird for Stardom Road. We're talking about wrestling in America. What are we doing here?
I know. So, of course...
Roads don't go across oceans.
So, of course, we got a plane. If Tam could get a plane for the Tam Road, then we could get a plane for Stardom Road. So, on April 4th, Stardom will be returning to America for the first time since 2019. For Stardom American Dream 2024 in the keynote state. I don't love that part. I think we could cut that part off, but whatever. So it's very exciting. They return for WrestleMania week as part of the festivities there. Surely going to become a running theme moving forward for them, which, you know, would have probably been the goal back when they started in 2019, but COVID's had other plans. They also sold to Bushiroad and so on and so forth. So much has changed since. And that's kind of going to be part of the conversation today. We're going to go back all the way to 2019. Hell, we're actually going to go back all the way to 2015, the original U.S. tour. We're going to talk about what these shows looked like, kind of the main premise around them. We're going to talk about the matches on the show, nothing like in depth, and then kind of how much has changed and kind of set up for the upcoming America show, which is obviously looking to be a fun one with a lot of the, you know, obvious talent, but a lot of outsiders that are very much favored by audiences in America. So it should be a lot of fun. This is kind of just a Stardom in America show. Very simple. There's not really a big plan here. I'm not going to lie to you guys, but it's very fitting timing-wise because I don't know how many more times we're really going to need to hit on Stardom in America. So it's
well, hopefully it's going to be something we have to touch on every year because they're going to be going over there every year. And we're going to talk about how everything changed from year to year. Now, obviously, this is a bit of a unique one because like there's only so often we can go back to this kind of topic, but everyone's really excited about now Stardom going back to America. It's been since 2019, basically, people have been clamoring for it to come back because where Stardom was in 2019, especially early mid-2019, is very, very different, especially on a global platform, to where it is now in 2024. It kind of feels like that show was the last bastion of the old Stardom. And then as Bushiroad came in, their platform grew exponentially. They became a much bigger property globally. But they've never been able to capitalize on that and come back to America for one reason or another. COVID is a bit of an annoying thing in that respect. And obviously, once COVID hit, they also sort of renewed their focus on the domestic market. But here we are, 2024. They're coming back to America. People have been waiting for a long time. People are excited about it. So there's no better time to go back and look at what the American tours look like because they are very different. You know, 2015 is very different to 2019. And I suspect it'll look pretty different to 2024, even though there are some similarities to pick at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is, I think the fun for us will be seeing the growth through the years for the company itself and the venues that they're running. But seeing the rosters as well and just how much time has changed this company. It was not the prettiest of shows back in 2015. But I think the beauty of this conversation as well is to hopefully get people excited that are going to that show or that are looking forward to watching that show because you could tell that the talent is excited for it. Obviously, you know, the likes of Azumi, Mina Shirakawa, they're going to be spending extra long there. But we're also going to talk a little bit about where Stardom is comparably, because I think that's not what we expected. You know, hell, we're not even a place where we expected when the show was announced.
No.
You know, like a lot of
things change very quickly in the world of wrestling.
But let's just start at the beginning when it comes to Stardom in America. You know, and we're also going to briefly touch on, you know, obviously they had involvement with Ring of Honor as well. And that kind of helped create their popularity that made 2019 a big success. You know, he had the likes of Mayu Iwatani going over there, winning the Women of Honor Championship. You had Hana Kimura, Oedo Tai going over there. So there was a lot, there was a decent amount of involvement at the time. But again, COVID just kind of washed all that out. But they were able to grow to new heights since then. So that'll be fun to get into. But like I said, let's start at 2015 in, I believe it's Covina, California, in the Knights of Columbus Hall. I need everyone to understand. The Knights of Columbus Hall, that is as indie as it gets. That's fitting, like, I don't even want to say a few hundred. Like, it's not a big, it's a bingo hall, essentially. Like, the, you know, the conversation of bingo halls and stuff, like, that is what that is. And they started small with two shows. You know, it was just called Stardom USA Tour. And some of the names on this show, I think, is going to amaze people. Obviously, the little factoid you gave me is pretty interesting as well before the show. So watching these back, right, going back into these shows, which are on Stardom World. So that's almost as shocking.
Incredible given the circumstances and the timing. Because 2015, there's not a lot of 2015 on there.
Speaking of which, this is a side conversation that you and me now have to have.
Okay.
I don't think we're getting anything on Stardom World ever again, I just realized. There's a lot of footage that's missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if the Bushiroad regime want to win me over personally, uploading some of the classic stuff that's not there will get me very much on their side.
Okay. Yeah, they're all about winning people up these days.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I'm not sure how many people are clamoring for 2013 Stardom to be on Stardom World. I don't think
Stardom Road is big,
but we are Stardom Road, because it makes our job a heck of a lot easier. You know, we're not scouring the depths of the Pirate Bay and internet
behind the curtain
web to find this stuff.
Behind the curtain scenario here, folks. I can't tell you how many times we've been like, "Oh, let's do this," and then we're like, "Can't watch it." All right,
yeah.
Never mind. So we'll do our best. But looking at this 2015 show, you have a 5-match card on night one. You have a 5-match card on night two. You have multiple title matches. You have multiple big names, obviously. Both main evented by, of course, Io Shirai, who I think it's pretty incredible that we're looking at the old original U.S. tour. And now when they're going back for their third time, Io Shirai is going to be defending a WWE Women's World title at WrestleMania. It's kind of a cool full circle moment just for her, obviously, but just kind of like looking at what Stardom has created, because obviously without Stardom, Io Shirai isn't the big star that she'd go on to be. And the first main event of Stardom in USA is two WWE stars going head to head. But
doesn't feel right talking about WWE stars here on Stardom Road.
I know, but you know, it's the reality. It's the reality. If rumors are true, we'll have to be talking about another one soon enough. I'll go through the results, kind of name some people that may jump out, and then we'll kind of just dive into the show. But we had Oedo Tai, Act Yasukawa, Chris Wolf, and Kyoko Kimura defeating Brittany Wonder. I don't know who that is. Datura and a young Shayna Baszler. Which, Give me the factoid. I know you had a factoid for me.
Yeah. So Shayna this Baszler. Is according to Cage Match. So take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, I can't confirm. I haven't talked to Shani Baz personally to confirm this, but according to Cage Match, this is her second ever pro wrestling match.
Pretty crazy. Mm. And obviously another WWE star that we're talking about. We had a singles match. It was Mayu Iwatani defeating Nicole Savoy. Nicole Savoy obviously made a name for herself a lot on the US Indies and, of course, Stardom. You had Hiroyo Matsumoto and Kelly Skater defeating Kimura and Kairi Hojo. This one gets me. You had Melina Perez. Yes, that Melina. And Santana Garrett defeating Oedo Tai's Hudson Envy and Thunder Rosa in a 16-minute match, by the way, the longest match on the show. And in the main event, it was the Wonder of Stardom Championship on the line as Io Shirai defended against Mia Yim, which that match was just a WWE Women's World title match at the end of last year. So kind of a cool, again, full circle moment looking at this original show in a Knights of Columbus Hall and then that match happening on Friday Night SmackDown, you know, in a much bigger arena.
Somehow this little Stardom show wasn't as big as the WWE SmackDown.
This was the little engine that could. They gave it. It gave Triple H his booking ideas.
Yeah, look, he's been watching clearly mid-2015 Stardom. Maybe that's why, like, they're not uploading these early Stardoms because they know Triple H is going through them, and it's like, well, we don't want to give you some of that. Yeah, give you some of our ideas, some of our indie talent, you know. If he keeps watching 2015 Stardom, he might start to really twig to this Mayu Iwatani wrestler.
Yeah, I think it works out. I think, you know, when you look at these wrestlers and you look at where Stardom goes, you know, let's start so small. Ah, it's just this little Joshi company. I wish I could have found someone that was at one of these shows and like asked them like what was the atmosphere, because this is like extra. You have to like really be in the weeds at this time to be a Stardom fan, you know, unless you're in Japan, obviously. In 2015, obviously, is a big year that we highlighted earlier in this episode series, which is for better or for worse. But it's an interesting lineup nonetheless.
It's very much a mix of here's some of our talent, sort of more of our established talent, the people that if you've heard of Stardom around this time, you've probably heard of talent that they have worked with or will work with, quite interestingly, in a lot of the names here. And then just some of the local talent involved around that area as well. It's a real kind of mismatch. And I think that kind of vibe permeates through these two shows. It is very much a what is this kind of show? Because I think, especially when you compare it to Stardom 2019, even the crowd feels very different to what you get here. This is, as I would describe it, a very westernized crowd. You know, they're watching the show. It's if you closed your eyes, if you didn't see the talent in the ring, you would think, oh, we're in America. There's a lot of this is wrestling chants, this is awesome, that kind of. Yeah, the kind of chant you expect a lot of American shows. They're very loud and boisterous. They're getting behind the show. They're having a lot of fun with it. Whereas you watch 2019, and that feels a lot more like a crowd that has been following these promotions. They follow Japanese wrestling. And not that they're trying to emulate the Japanese product as a fan base, but they're sort of watching it more as a Japanese audience will and just pepper in the westernization throughout.
Yeah, they want to pay all that respect. They want to mirror that when being the crowd for a show like this and pop at the right moments, right, and react at the right times. And that's something I noticed big time in the title match that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But going back to these shows, it's just like it's so crazy to think where Stardom is now, obviously. Because again, 2015 was such a tumultuous year. It had its ups, its downs. It had everything. And this is, of course, at the end of 2015. So, you know, you're closing out strong. You have Threedom starting to, mm-hmm. you know, firmly take grasp of this company at the time. You know, Thunder Rock's reigning as champions. EO's being EO. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And I think it's very important. I think it's very important to just highlight, because this time period was still change going on. Mm. And when we fast forward to 2024, nearly a decade later, there is change going on. Yes. Very different change, but change nonetheless.
It is funny how it mirrors it in a lot of ways. Obviously, the circumstances are very different, but when they plan this show, they probably expected to have a different depth of talent than they did at the end of the year. They probably expected to have a World of Stardom champion on this show. But of course, the champion at the time was Miko Satomura, who was busy doing Sendai Girls things. And now we're coming into 2024, obviously, and like when they originally planned America 2024, they probably thought they'd have Julia. They probably thought they'd have Utami Hashishita. They probably thought they'd have Rossi, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy to say. But obviously, that show still has a lot of amazing talent. And this show itself, like when you consider the time period, and 2015 was very much a regrowing period, and especially because you don't get the full Stardom roster here, I think they put on a pretty fun show. There's nothing in these two American shows where I would say, you need to go and watch this match. It's not that kind of show. It's kind of like a house show plus. You know, it's mostly a bit of fun. It's all about entertaining the crowd, having a good time. And then you've got one match which has a little bit higher stakes. They're going a little bit harder in it, but it's still ultimately all about the exhibition, all about the fun, all about the experience. And kind of trends through to the 2019 show a little bit too.
Yeah, so I think one interesting note, this was with prowrestlingisart.wordpress.com as translated here. So in a recent interview that was on Stardom's website at the time, Rossi Ogawa
for the time.
Yes. Back on this article was posted on October 16, 2015. Rossi Ogawa, I know Rossi Ogawa. He said at the time, Stardom's president, if anyone is wondering if we are making money on these shows, we aren't expecting to. And he said as well, you know, my dream is to bring the best Joshi pro wrestling show to the fans in Los Angeles. And then, you know, they had multiple interviews throughout this with the likes of Thunder Rosa, who would compete on the show, cheerleader Melissa as well, and so on and so forth. But the idea was there back then with Stardom that you are bringing the best women's wrestling. And that's the whole conversation of why people have wanted Stardom back in America. They want the best women's wrestling, right? We've seen hints of it through the past couple of years. Mayu has come over. Mina has come over. Mm. You know, Julia has come over.
Utami's come over.
That was a unique one. That was a very different one than the others, because obviously the others, they were on New Japan shows and so on and so forth. Utami comes over, does a 2-weekend trip in GCW, and it's very unique, but again, it is the same purpose of bringing the best Joshi, but it wasn't all together. And I think ultimately that's what fans are looking for. They want to see the best against the best. So let's talk about the second show real quick. This was at the Esther Snyder Community Center, which I couldn't tell you the last time a wrestling show was run there. We had Oedatai, Aki Asakawa, Kyokumura, and Thunder Rosa defeating Brittany Wonder, Datura, and Nicole Savoy. Santana Garrett defeated Chris Wolf. For the GRPW Lady Luck title, which is quite inactive, the Gold Rush Pro Wrestling Company. It actually retired in 2021, so it lasted pretty long. It was cheerleader Melissa defending successfully against Shayna Baszler, who have, like you said, according to Cage Match, Shayna Baszler's third match. Kairi Hojo teamed up with Melina to defeat Hudson Envy and Mia Yim. And in the main event for the Goddesses of Stardom titles, it was Thunder Rock getting another successful defense as Io Shirai and Mayu Iwatani successfully defended against Hiroyo Matsumoto and Kelly Skater.
This show felt like, I think the venue does make a big, play a big role. This felt a little bit more normal because it is ultimately a gymnasium. Like the other one, to me, like I took one look at it and I'm like, is this a wedding venue? Yeah, with all the drapes and very kind of a little bit fancy in some ways, but definitely didn't feel like a wrestling show. This felt like a typical American indie kind of venue. You got the basketball hoops in the background and the seats are kind of just displaced. You can see where you order your drinks at one stage when Edo Tai is throwing people through chairs. Again, very similar crowd to the night before where you've clearly got your hardcore passionate fans who are there for the Stardom wrestlers and they are very much deep in the knowledge pit. And then people are probably just there like, what is this? Okay, cool. Have a bit of fun with it. The crowds, like, say what you will about the American crowds versus Japanese crowds kind of concept. They're having a lot of fun and it is very infectious and you can kind of feel the wrestlers are kind of enjoying this unusual atmosphere for them as well. They're getting into it. Kyoko and Act, especially in that first match, they're really playing off the crowd, which I quite appreciated. And yeah, like I think in a lot of ways, like sure, fans want to have that. And I think nowadays fans want to have that authentic Japanese experience in a lot of ways with the shows that come down here. But it is fun to give the wrestlers a unique experience as well. And that's kind of what this felt like.
I think fun experience is obviously like very important to what we're watching here, right? And if the wrestlers are having fun, the fans are having fun, it doesn't matter what the venue is, it doesn't matter how many fans are in the building, it makes for a lively, fun show. And I think that's kind of what they were looking for at the time, is bring that excitement, bring that fun. So when we come back next time, we could show it again. And again, that's the beauty, I think, of looking at these US shows. It's like, where are we? And, you know, you bring up that point of where they were then. And by the time they come back in 2019, it's so advanced. So many more people know what Stardom is. Ooh. And the wrestlers are there to put on an even bigger show. And despite the problems that they had, and I'll get to some stories when we get to 2019, they did put on one hell of a show. But if you want to kind of see where Stardom started in America in terms of their shows, go back and watch this on Stardom World. There's nothing necessarily on here that's like out of this world, but it's its own experience. It's something very unique that you're not getting, watching, you know, the more recent shows and obviously what's to come on the 4th, which will be their biggest delivery yet.
There's not a show like this on Stardom World. Yeah, the mix of the talent and the crowd and the atmosphere, it is so unlike anything else. And it's a fun watch. Like, yeah. It's not going to, you're not going to be doing star ratings after watching this. It's not going to make any match of the year contenders. But it's a lot of fun. It's cool seeing him in a different environment, getting to do different things. It's fun seeing Io Shirai on the microphone at the end of the first night, trying to deliver an English promo and doing a pretty good job of it as well. And just like interacting with the crowd and, you know, connecting with them. Especially when you look at 2019 and then probably look at the 2024 show, just to see how much has changed. The big thing, one wrestler from the 2015 show is on the 2019 show. Only one repetition. No prizes for guessing who. I think most people can work that out. But it's kind of interesting, like, just compared 2019 to 2024. Yes, there's a lot of new talent, a lot of different talent, but you do get some of the old faces. It's a little bit more of a, I saw you a couple of years ago.
I think also what's notable about the 2015 shows, they didn't bring over a lot of Japanese talent. There was a lot of US-based talent, but they brought Threedom, they brought Matsumoto, right? And they brought part of Oedo Tai, and you know, that got it done. And then we saw in 2019, they bring a lot more of the roster. I think pretty much the whole roster besides the young the young crew, which
pretty much
this, and then we'll get to this year of how they're kind of doing it, and it's not the full roster. I don't even know if it's half of the roster, but it's a lot of the top stars, which ultimately is what people are looking for. But let's get to 2019. 2019 is going to be the bulk of this episode, obviously, which is Stardom America Dream in the Big Apple 2019. This was on Fight TV, much like the next show. We'll be on Triller TV, which is just Fight TV. But it's a new name, so I want to call it the right thing. This had commentary from Fumi Saito and Jim Valley. I have no idea who's going to be on commentary for the U.S. show this time around. I feel like that might have been announced, but I'm not sure. I'm going to guess probably like Veda Scott and someone. It's pretty normal crew usually. Maybe whoever does New Japan. Usually for the U.S. shows. I'm just guessing. I know Walker won't be because I think he'll be doing Secure Genesis, which is that same weekend. Obviously he's in New Japan. I have no idea who it's going to be. It's going to be someone though. Oh, I know who it's going to be, but it is Veda Scott. It is Veda Scott. And I think, I don't know if this is a spoiler show. I don't know if this is known, so I actually can't say it. I'll tell Trent after the show. But it's going to be good. It's going to be a good commentary team. It's going to be someone very knowledgeable.
Is it you?
No, it is not me. If it was me, we'd be having bigger conversations right now.
Breaking down every single match in super detail.
Though I would think I would do a great job if anyone wants to hear that. Anyways, so this had U.S. commentary, it had an English commentary.
U.S. commentary. USA. Yeah. USA.
It was in the NYC Arena, which is the home of House of Glory. About 650, 660 fans in attendance. I know some stories about this show. I have two fun stories. So I have actually interviewed and talked to Jim Valley about this show and how chaotic it was. So obviously, if you go and watch this show, the bottom rope was broken.
Yes.
And it's because there was a show before it that left the ring a mess, essentially. And Stardom had to work through that. But
welcome to WrestleMania weekend.
Yes, welcome to WrestleMania weekend. They had to work through that, and obviously they did. But some of my favorite stories, like, it was very, because kind of messy, but my favorite story that he told me, and this has nothing to do with the show, but the way they got to the show was, I believe it was the subway. You know, it's New York. Duh. And you have the whole roster, right? You got Mayu in there. You got Kagetsu, Arisa Shiki, Momo Watanabe, Tommy. They're all going. And Jim Valley told me, and this is over on the Five Star Joe Show if you ever want to check it out. He told me how there was these fans wearing Stardom shirts right there. And they had no clue because obviously every wrestler's just in normal gear. Like, they're not in their gear or anything. But I was like, there's no way. If I'm standing in the subway, I'm not noticing all of them, let alone one of them. But I thought that was a fun story to share. He also just shared fun times, after the show, or like getting dinner, and how fun they were, and how Hana and Momo would just, they're essentially kids at the time. Ooh. And they're just, kind of enjoying life. And it's absolutely lovely. Jim tells it better, obviously, because it's firsthand experience. But the other story is one of my favorite stories I've ever been told. So, friend of mine, JPQ, who used to do a number of podcasts and cover Joshi, he went to this show. As a fan,
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And he was, so they did a meet and greet after the show, and he was waiting in line for, I believe he said Saki Kashima, which is great. Love that. And the person that had the longest line was Hana Kimura. And once her line was done, like once people, she started like, oh, come over here. She was working the audience. She's doing all this stuff. But she also took the time with everyone to give them that real experience. She tried to talk with them. And I just feel like that's the kind of thing you want to hear about these shows. Like, who cares about the wrestling? You got Hana Kimura there just trying to, you know, make new fans, essentially, just by being her. And I think that's one of my favorite parts about that entire everything that happened there. But the show was chaotic to get started. I believe they just went on air when it was on.
It was like 30 minutes light, yeah.
Yeah, because of everything. And you know, Jim told me how he was like, I just kind of had to wing it for a while, you know, because we were live. And ultimately, they got the show done. Multiple title matches. Really good title match, actually, on this show. But I think this is kind of going to give us a vision more of what we're expected to see coming up in 2 weeks. So let's dive into it. Do you remember watching this show in full?
No, I actually don't think I bought this one because around 2019, I was being particularly cheap. And I think also WrestleMania weekend, I was kind of tuned out on because I still connected as being a WWE weekend. And that was sure. I can't watch American wrestling. And
it didn't. I don't think it took on, at least for me, I don't know if it fully embraced WrestleMania week yet. Like it is now. Like now it's a behemoth, right? Now it's everything. Right?
Like I think it was because I think that feeling was there before COVID. So I think this year it was. But I know I didn't buy it live. I think I looked at because back you got to remember, back in 2019, I wasn't used to paying for Stardom pay-per-views. They weren't doing that back then.
Oh,
you just had to wait for Kurikan Halls to get uploaded.
Yeah.
It was, you know, during the COVID era where they started going, hey, we can charge 4,400 yen a show for this stuff and people will pay for it. So I was being cheap. I think that's the reason why. And I looked at the card. I'm like, it'll be fun. The white belt match will be good, but I can wait for this to get uploaded.
Well, you're right, by the way. I just did my little search here to see what was going on at that time. And yes, at that time, I forgot what 2019 was. This was the first year I think it took on a life of its own completely, because this was the year that they did the G1 Supercard at Madison Square Garden. I was like, I was trying to remember. Yes, which Mayu was at, defending the Ring of Honor Women of Honor Championship. Also, the dark match on that show included Hazuki and Kagetsu, team with Jenny Rose against Hana Kimura, Stella Gray, and Sumi Sakai. So, you know, just a little added to it. But now I remember 2019 was the big year that it kind of took off because of that G1 Supercard, especially. But let's get into the show itself. We'll go down the results. We'll kind of talk a little bit. We will talk about the Wonder Stardom Championship match, which is kind of the most ultimate where we are now compared to then scenario. We had Jungle Kiona and Natsuko Tora win against Sonya Strong and Violet. So using that, the talent that are there, obviously kind of something we're seeing now, but very different. It's raised up a bit due to, you know, a new relationship, I'd say, and connections that they've made. We have Bobby Tyler and Hana Kimura defeating Brittany Blake and Britt Baker, DMD, as well as Queen's Quest, Bea Priestley, and Konami. You had a high-speed title match. Hazuki successfully defended against Dust, 5 minutes and 44 seconds, which is Zoe Sky, for those who would like to know her current gimmick. Wonder of Stardom title, Momo Watanabe successfully defending against Utami Hayashishita. Obviously a very important title match, as I believe this was her final defense before losing it to Arisa Shiki. This was the record number 13 that eventually has been broken by Saya Kamatani. And you had the main event, which was an elimination 8-woman tag. It was Arisa Shiki, Mayu Tani, Saki Kashima, and Tam versus Ueda Tais, Andras Miyagi, Jamie Hayter, Martina, and Kagetsu. So, interestingly shaped card, but it's all about kind of sending the crowd home happy with the fun elimination tag at the end. But let's, before we talk about the full card, let's talk about that Wonder of Stardom title match, because the Wonder of Stardom title match, when we look back on it now, is extra interesting. Obviously, this is in the midst of the Big Rookie. This is Big Rookie Utami Hayashishita. And boy, oh boy, how the times change. Fast forward 5 years later, not only has Utami lived up to the expectations that Rossi Ogawa had for her back then and, you know, booked her as the multi-champion and all that, she'll not be on the new U.S. show. She is on her way to be with, presumably, the man who booked her in such big spots back then. But Momo Watanabe also in a very different spot. You know, it felt like at one point she was going to get a title match on this show, the new one, but that did not happen. But I think it's pretty awesome that the U.S. crowd got to witness one of the big matches, obviously, in such a historic defense, which ended up being a pretty solid match. You know, Tommy was obviously the underdog against the unbeatable Momo, but she made people believe at that time. And even in defeat, this was one of her better showings, especially in that Big Rookie run of hers.
I mean, you've got to remember, at this stage, Utami's walking into this match with 4 championships. So, as wild as it is, it's believable that, you know, she's going to walk out with 5, because once you've hit, like... Sorry.
Once you hit a certain 12, number 13 of titles,
defenses. Yeah, like, but once you hit 12 or 13 defenses on Momo's side as well, you are starting to think, okay, who are they going to give this big rub to finally knock over the big champion? Utami was someone who, like, would have been very believable to walk out of this match having gotten the Momo victory. Yeah. We didn't know that, you know, they were saving it for Arisa to set her up for a very big match. But it shows a lot of trust in Utami to get this kind of match in this kind of situation, because this is the match on this show. Obviously, it's not the main event. You've got the elimination match with Stars and Ueda Tai. That's the fun kind of, let's send the crowd home happy match. Not that Momo winning wasn't a happy moment, but like, this is kind of the match that was going to signify how good the show is. If this match delivered, it's a good show. If this match fails, it's like, yeah, it's a bit of fun, I guess, if you're in the crowd, but it delivers. Yeah. It does. Like, it's not Momo's best white belt match. It's definitely one of Utami's better matches in her first year, but it's a really good match. And I think especially towards the latter half, it really starts to pick up and the crowd really gets into it. And at the end of it all, they give her a standing ovation.
Yeah. I mean, Utami gets a great, near fall one of her German suplexes. You know, you have Momo ultimately become the killer in the end and win with the Peach Sunrise, to get to the victory, as you kind of got so used to back then with her. But it's I think the best part about it is they got a Stardom title match.
Yes.
Like, this was a Stardom title match. If you picked it up and put it in Cork and Hall, I believe you 100%
you don't that see that happens. Getting a high-speed title match in Cork and Hall?
I don't. You never know back then, but definitely not like this. Like, this was believable. Mm. And obviously, you know, a year later, Tommy was in Cork and Hall challenging for this exact belt. So very fitting. And this is a match that you obviously watch with Tommy, and you could see how she grows from it. It's interesting to think, again, where we are now with Tommy compared to where we were then and where we are now. It's just like, what a weird world, what a weird way this all goes. And the perfect, if you're looking at the image that we have for our show this week, it is Rossi, Momo, and Tommy, and you know, two-thirds of that is now no longer with the company. It's just like, who would have thought? You know, who would have thought when they finally returned to America, that would be the case? But I think what this show does is it accomplishes exactly what it's out there to do, is bring the feel of Stardom, bring the essence of Stardom to America with a complete show. And I think they nailed it 100%. It's a show that if you got to go to, you went home happy, not just because the main event was what it was, right? And so on and so forth, but you know, you got your money's worth. And that's what you're hoping for, obviously, this time around as well.
Yeah, this is an interesting kind of middle ground between giving the fans a pure Stardom in Japan experience and giving them a, you know, we're coming over, we're doing a little bit of a variety thing, because the first few matches are reminiscent to the original America shows where it's like Stardom talent versus non-Stardom talent. And then for these last two matches, they kind of switch the gear and it's like, we want to give you some matches that you would see every week in Stardom kind of thing. Well, not every week in the terms of the title match, but like the kind of matches you are tuning into Stardom for every week. And that's kind of the exciting thing. And I think Stardom is big enough now where they can afford to run the show as if it's purely a Stardom thing and bring the Japanese experience to America, as opposed to just bringing wrestlers and putting on a fun show. So I am curious to see this year how much they lean into doing this is a American show featuring Stardom wrestlers versus a Stardom show, you know, the Japanese experience brought to America. Because obviously it's not purely Stardom wrestlers, but the overall lineup, even when you look at those they're bringing in, are still very Stardom heavy associated. You know, someone like Saki, someone like Ram Kachow, they're all pretty well connected in the Stardom system. So I'm curious to see how much they lean on that. I think it's going to be pretty heavy. They can afford to now. But still hanging on to that little bit of, this is an American tour. We want to make things a little bit more vibrant and maybe enthusiastic because we're appealing to a crowd that haven't seen us in, you know, years or potentially at all. Because there'll be a lot of new fans there who weren't there at the New York show. And it's one thing to see a wrestler you like. You know, you've been able to see Mina and Azumi, Mayu Itami maybe, but just seeing him at a random show is very different from getting the full experience.
Yeah, I think the crowd is going to be a lot more like the first crew of shows than this one. Truthfully, I think it's going to be very American-like of this is awesome and things like that. Because of what WrestleMania week is now, just comparably, like, I don't know. I don't think 2019, like the collective was a big thing. And like, that's part of like what I meant when I was talking about it. It's like, obviously there's still big shows, but now it's like, there's a million shows and they're all aired and they all have these big announcements and it's on and on and on and all these Japanese, like we watched it kind of we saw it last year at TJPW. What was that experience going to be like in America? And it was very US, but you know, TJPW shows are very different from Stardom, but still you kind of, it's the Joshi aspect that we're trying to capture.
I think they're more likely to play into the Americana aspect.
Yes.
But there's also going to be wrestlers like someone like Mina Shirakawa, I think, is the kind of wrestler really lean into the crowd doing that kind of thing. And it's going to be fun seeing the wrestlers react, whether they've been here before, they kind of know what to expect, whether they haven't, and maybe they're like mentally preparing themselves for something that's a little bit different, but they're the kind of person to really rally it up and have a lot of fun with it. Because for some of these wrestlers, wrestling in America has been a dream for as long as they've been wrestling. Yeah, this is, for a lot of them, their first chance, because the roster changes so much. You know, we talked about 2015 to 2019, only one wrestler between those two rosters. 2019 to 2024, there are more sort of familiar faces, a lot of new names still,
A lot of different involvement, a lot of big stars from the outside. You know, they're not using local indie talent this time around. They're using you know, AEW stars. They're using CMLL star. They're using a very big crew. And I think the excitement, you could feel it. Just talking to people, they're very excited for this show. I think many people expect it to be the best show of the non-WrestleMania, and even including WrestleMania, truthfully. Like, they expect it to be probably the best show at this stage of the game. And that's where stardom's reached. And that's where we kind of go from the 650, 660 people in the NYC arena to the 2300 arena, the ECW arena, the place that packs 2,000, the place that is sold out. The only ticket you can get is standing room only. They're packing that place for this show. It's going to be incredible, truthfully. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere, obviously, like for the likes of an Azumi who's been wanting to get to the U.S. and for Mina Shirakawa, who's clearly very much into going to the U.S., but also for the likes that return, like the Tams of the world, who is a different superstar compared to when she was who she was back then in 2019. You know, you're going to have the Saya Kamatanis, whose first time she's over, and you know, the list goes on and on. And obviously the World of Stardom champion Micah, who will be defending that title in her first U.S. appearance. And she's someone, obviously, I know you interviewed her and she talked about going international. It's something she's really looking forward to. So I expect this time around for a lot of this roster to be going all out, truthfully, for this show. I wouldn't expect much different from them. It's just a matter of what the card's going to look like. But we do know we are getting a World of Stardom Championship match on U.S. soil. First time ever. If you told me it was going to be Micah versus Megan Bain, though, I would not have believed you, but here we are. And the participants for the full show, since this is a very unique episode, we could talk about present day stuff. The participants are as follows. You have Mayu Iwatani, Momo Kogo, hopefully. Obviously, she's banged up right now. Hopefully, she's able to compete. We'll have Azumi, if anything, put her on commentary if she's not able to compete, you know. Starlight Kid, Momo Watanabe makes her return. Shuri, Mina Shirakawa, Saya Kamatani, Tam Nakano, Saki Kashima, Micah, Mei Sarah, Konami, Saki, Ram Kai Chow, CMLL, Stephanie Vaquer, Willow Nightingale, Zaya Brookside, and of course Mariah May. It's a very good crew.
Yeah.
It's a show that I think a lot of people are going to walk away from having a great time. I would assume you're only getting one title match, just based off of current happenings in the world of stardom and the difficulties of getting every champion over there, because you're not going to probably get a tag title match because either one of the people don't belong to the company anymore, or the new champions are only sending one half based off of whoever. And the artist belts,
who knows?
There's not even a solution there, but I'll tell you what, Mariah and Ami Sarai aren't going, so there you go.
You could run a high-speed title match. That's definitely on the cards. And if they weren't going to be running it that weekend anyways, you could possibly do a New Japan Strong, Women's Strong title match there. Maybe you squeak out an IWGP Women's title match out of it. There are options. There are titles that are going to be there that you can use to defend. But it's very difficult to predict right now. I mean, the World of Stardom title match is a pretty nice get, if nothing else. They can still stack the show without. It really just comes down to how much they want to make this feel like a big show as opposed to a tour show.
Mm-hmm. You know, World of Stardom title matches don't just happen. So it's, you know, it's a big deal already. It's going to be a packed arena. It's going to be a lively crowd. 3 p.m. Eastern here in the U.S. on a Thursday. That's WrestleMania week, baby. That is the epitome. I think TJPW is on at like 11 a.m. the next day. So it's like, you know, this is just how it goes. But before we kind of, this was going to be a short episode. There wasn't really much to talk, but we were just like, here's America shows and kind of the difference.
You got to talk about your home country, Scott.
Yeah, well, sure. they you know, they're crossing off a new city. They had California. Well, that's not a city, but you know, we'll consider it Los Angeles because Rossi said so. They did New York, and now it's Philadelphia. Boston's a pretty good location. just asking. I mean, you know, it's fine.
I'm just asking them. They're doing this big Southeast Asia expansion. Keep expanding that way. Go further south.
Yeah. Well, hey, they're going to be on that. Yeah. They've been there.
Why not? I'd say the Taiwan show is close to me.
No, that wasn't really. I wouldn't necessarily say that's full part of. I don't know. Whatever. This is not. I didn't say it was close to you. Whatever. This is besides the point. Anything else left on the U.S. shows before we get out of here?
I think it's just one of those things that's going to be a fun time, and it's good to go back to these shows just to see Stardom's progression. It's one of those things we talk about and we harp on a lot about on the road is seeing the progression of the company and seeing the progression of the wrestlers. And the perfect example is someone like Momo Watanabe. Seeing her in 2019 as the undefeatable white belt champion, Queen's Quest leader, versus how she's going to be in 2024 as the Oedo Tide sort of second in command, maybe leading the charge for them at the show. Completely different. Seeing Mayu Iwatani kind of still very much finding her way in 2015 as the, you know, the heir ascendant in 2019. She's earned the ropes. She's, you know, ultimately she just has to beat Getsu to finally prove herself as the undisputed top star. To 2024, where she's done all that. You know, she is the icon. She's the legacy of what Stardom is. Following the progression of these wrestlers, following the progression of the company over these pretty much 10 years, it's quite fascinating. And it's kind of worth going back and watching just for that. And if you're someone who has followed wrestling outside of the Stardom bubble, especially WWE, going back to the 2015 show, seeing Melina, seeing Shayna Baszler, seeing Io Sky and Kairi Sane, if you want to look at it that way as well, it's quite fascinating as well.
Yeah. And now you're seeing fast forward, you're going to see the best women's roster in wrestling, one of the best rosters in the world, put on a show. Well, part of it. I mean, they're missing a lot of people. They're missing a lot of people. But it's still going to be a great show. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're what going to the...
Sorry to interrupt. Do you think the people who were standing next to the Stardom roster in the merch ever kind of look back and realize, whether they heard the Jim Valley interview or just kind of connected the dots like a week later, how bad do you think they feel? Like being next to the roster and not realizing the situation.
Oh, on the train?
Yeah.
I mean, I would be bummed. Just, I can't imagine that. So they're like all there with suitcases and like all their gear. I mean,
I can understand bummed. One or two. Like if it was just, say, Jungle Kiona, you know, yeah, and Momo Watanabe were just chilling On the train. I can understand missing it, but the whole roster, you'd have to think, why is there 20 younger Japanese women all standing here at once? Hang on, some of them have haircuts, and I feel like, yeah, Kagetsu's haircut, you'd be like, oh, that's okay.
Well, Kagetsu, obviously, when Kagetsu had his hair down, it was very different. When it wasn't all slicked back and stuff. I don't know. They didn't notice anyone, clearly. So
I've noticed Japanese wrestlers randomly on the street before.
I would have too. I'm not trying to help them. to me, I would have noticed all of them. But I don't know.
I'd be kicking myself so bad.
I would be.
I would feel so stupid. If you're listening,
especially if you're wearing a Stardom shirt.
And how bad do you feel now that we're reminding you of this?
They're probably just learning this. Some of them might just be learning this. Oh my God, was that me? You know? Trent, where can people find you? This show comes out, what, Tuesday? Tuesday. So where can people find you? Whether it be X, writing, interviews, talking, I don't know, whatever you do.
So the easiest way to find everything I'm doing is on Twitter/X @OneUpCulture. I think we can sort of publicly announce this now. We've kind of been alluding to it here and there, but starting next week, April 2nd, my home for writing has now changed. You can find me on Razura, which is a brand new website that Ryan Dilbert is starting up. Scott and myself are going to be helping out with and contributing and kind of help get it off the ground. This is a all Joshi website. That's the focus. It's on the Joshi wrestlers. Rezura is a Japanese term for wrestler, and that's what the focus is. We're focusing on the wrestlers. That opens next week. I think Tuesday in America, April 2nd. Yeah. Very excited to see this get off the ground. So if you've been enjoying my writing over the years, make sure you're following Rezura on Twitter/X. It's Rezura Mag, so R-E-S-U-R-A-M-A-G. That's where all my Joshi writing is going to be from now on. So be sure to check that out. I still have ChocoCast over on the Wrestling Podcast Network. And yeah, that's pretty much everything I think off the top of my head.
ResonantMag.com will be the official home of the site when it is live. Expect something from me and Trent that first opening day. Trent knows what he's writing. I don't. But that's the beauty of it. I can do whatever I want.
Anything Joshi related.
Well, I don't want
to
write.
You have to hold off on your Baron Corbin retrospective.
Oh, I know. Anyone that may be asking Ocean Cyclone Show, it will live on. Don't you worry. It will live on. We're just taking the next month off. This is the only place we could say it, really. So we will not be back for April. We are skipping April because of everything that's been going on. But we'll probably be back in some form with Rezura. So
the trio is on Rezura. So that's kind of where the home of anything Ocean Cyclone will be moving forward. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
But we're focusing on the written stuff to start with. The audio, the visual stuff will come in time.
Yeah, Rezura, hopefully we'll be back in May or so. Mm. We'll see when we get there. But I know a lot of people like that show. A lot of people like the fun, the antics. So it'll be back. Mm. This is me saying it will be back. I don't know exactly when yet, but we'll be back because we have too much fun doing it. So we can't get rid of it. That's why there's a website of us together now. So that's that. Follow me at Scotty Wrestling on Twitter/X. Check out the 5-star Joshi Show. Trent was just on. If you want to hear us talk about the departures of Utami, Marai, Mai Sakurai, and Yuzuki, as well as Julia. But I feel like I've been talking about Julia for months now. We talk about that. We talk about Hana winning the Cinderella. We talk about all the good stuff. So make sure you check that out. And of course, check out all the podcasts on Count Out Podcast Network, including Ring Post Radio and Your Dose of Death, as well as I believe the New Japan podcast has changed their name. They used to be Okada Shorts. Had to change it. I believe
that could be the new Stardom podcast name.
Yeah. And I believe they're now called Ichiban Sweetcast.
Ah, nice.
Yes,
I believe that is, the podcast.
Yes, I believe that is now their name. So make sure you check that out. But for Trent, I'm Scott. We're getting out of here. We did an hour. That's cool enough for me. If you're going to the US show, have a good time. If you're watching from home, have a good time. If you are wondering what our next episode is, we don't know.
Have a good time.
Until then, see ya.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.
This has been a Countout Podcast.